Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Preach what I feel like I ought to preach, and I didn't feel like the Lord told me to do that today, so I will apologize, which I guess it means your mothers are doing all right because God didn't feel like you need to be corrected in your motherhood. Let's turn to the word of the Lord, chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And then from James, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want to talk to you today for a few moments on the rain takers and the rain makers. There's a little difference there. You may be seated. You know, I've shared this with you before, but it ministered greatly to me. It actually changed the way I preached. I listened to a Chinese coach. I don't know why I've got a subject on Chinese today. But I listened to a Chinese coach, and he was a table tennis coach. And they had won several times, several years they had beat America at table tennis. And the American coach asked the Chinese coach why he thought that was. And he said, it's not in the people. It's not in the players. It's in the coach. And the coach said, you mean it's our fault? He said, yes, sir. He said, why is that? He said, because you coach to the weakness. And in China, we coach to the strength. It changed my philosophy in everything I did. Friend, you do not become more righteous by dwelling on your failings or your sins. You don't become stronger by dwelling on your weakness. You become stronger by talking about how God has made you strong. You become righteous by thinking about the righteousness of God rather than the unrighteousness of man. What you think on, the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so shall he be. So is he as he thinketh. And when you begin to think on things, it affects you. And so the Bible said in the text, the original text, that it rains on the just and on the unjust. But we have to rightly divide the word of God. And then it gives us the story of Elijah in 1 Kings, of how Elijah changed the climate, affected the weather. He shut up the heavens by his prayers where it did not rain, and then he opened up the heavens by his prayer when it rained torrentially. He did that by his prayer. But most Christians do not live in that realm. I would say the greatest failing of Christianity is to not assess and take inventory of what God has done in our life. That we are not the same people that we were born into this earth. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we are mightily empowered. That the God of the universe does not just live in space, but now he lives within the confinement of human bodies. That's the reason why. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The greatest miracle that has ever been on the face of the earth is that Christ was raised from the dead. And yet the Bible said the same Spirit that was in Christ now dwells in you, and it will quicken or make alive your mortal body. I'm not sure we make a great assessment of that. I'm afraid that we are concerned about our weaknesses so much that we assume that we just take what comes. That we're no different from our unsaved, unregenerate counterparts that live on earth. That we just have to adjust whatever it is. Come whatever comes, we'll take it the way it is. And so if rain comes, we'll take it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I'll take the rain when it comes. But there are times in my life where I just cannot stand to sit on the wayside and wait. I have to take matters into my spirit and say, God, things have to change. Rain is a symbol of blessing in the Word of God. When it talks about rain, it's talking about blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that I have to just wait for certain blessings. I believe that I can take the Scripture and I can link it up with the power of God that's inside of me, and I can change the climate and atmosphere of my life. It's an old cliche, but some people are thermostats and some are thermometers. You either decide what the temperature is and live with it, or you're a thermostat and you adjust it and make it cooler or warmer according to your need. And I believe that most Christians fail to do that. One of my friends pastored out in West Texas, where it gets even drier than it does here. The drought got so bad in West Texas that the mayor asked that churches take a Saturday, every Saturday, and different church would take a Saturday and appear on the courthouse square and pray for rain. The Catholics went, nothing happened. The Methodists went, nothing happened. The Baptists went on their Saturday, nothing happened. My Pentecostal friend took his little congregation of 100 people. They showed up with umbrellas and prayed on Saturday, and on Sunday it rained 3 inches. That pastor became a hero in that community and led many people to Christ. You said, well, that was just a happenstance. Whatever it was, it worked. Ladies and gentlemen, when you pray for rain, you need to get your umbrella ready, because something is going to happen. Elijah was a man subject unto like passions, and yet he prayed it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. He was a man like unto same passions, and he prayed for rain, and it did rain. The key in that phrase for us is a man subject to like passions. The devil is such a devil. He wants to make you fail, fall, make mistakes, fall short, come short, and then he wants to condemn you for the failings that he has caused. And so many of us feel like that we simply do not deserve things because of our like passions. We have weaknesses just like Elijah has. I've said it before, Elijah was the first bipolar man in the Bible. He is celebrating one moment, the next moment he's sitting under a juniper tree, afraid for his life, begging God to let him die. He was bipolar. And so we say, well, we've got a problem, and so God can't bless us. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not subject to your passions, your problems, your weakness, or your mistake. Because God is dealing with you not with the efficacy of your love and your life, but he is dealing with you in the perfection of the one that he sent in your place, called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so my prayers always end not in the name of Steve Fender or Billy Graham or Donald Trump or Joe Biden or some movie star. I don't pray in any other name except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I understand that when I need a miracle, it's not going to be based on my perfection or my performance. My miracle is going to be based upon the perfection and the performance of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Elijah, a man of like passions. I still have those same like passions. Passions means your nature, your flesh, your weakness, your fears, and yes, even your sins. This phrase eliminates self-disqualification. You know, we have a tendency to disqualify ourselves. We look off and say, oh, T.D. Jakes, whoa, what a man of God. Or we look and say, Franklin Graham, what a man of God. Friend, I want to tell you, every one of those men and women that we look are people of like passions. They're not different than you are. Their God is your God. If they can do it, you can do it, because they don't do it on their own strength. They do it on the strength of Jesus Christ. It starts with prayer, and not just prayer, but earnest prayer. I mean, when you get sincere about it, when you begin to bombard heaven and say, I'm going to need a rain in my life. I need a blessing in my life. I need that miracle that has my name on it. And I'm not just going to wait for happenstance and occasion. I'm going to say to God, God, I need it now. Earnest prayer, effectual, fervent prayer. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Faith is based on Jesus' righteousness. You'll never have great faith as long as you're basing it on your performance. But if you will base it on Jesus Christ's righteousness, you can develop the prayer of righteousness, the prayer of a righteous man, or the prayer of a righteous woman. Elijah was a man of like passions, but he had a mind that was stayed on God. He asked the people, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? In other words, I'm not of diverse opinions. I'm not saying if it be the will of God. One of the greatest mistakes that we make is saying, well, if it's the will of God for me to get rain, I'll get it. If it's the will of God, I won't. No, God is waiting on you. Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? And he asked the people, and the Bible said, and the people answered him not a word. The difference between Elijah and the people, he had a made-up mind. I ask you today, do you have an Elijah mind, or do you have a mind of the general population? I don't consider myself to be a part of the general population. I'm an exception. God has brought me out. When I was raised in the Pentecostal church, separation was what they called holiness, which was not holiness at all. It was a dress code. In the first place, it didn't apply to men. It only applied to women. It was always about the way that was called separation. That's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about separate yourself. It's talking about you separate yourself from the general population and say, I'm not like other people. I've been bought with a price. I've been called out. I've been set apart. I've been anointed. And good things are going to happen to me that do not happen to my unsaved cousins and my unsaved brother-in-law because of whose I am. Friend, that's a made-up mind. Elijah believed it was going to rain because his God was in charge of the rain and his God loved him. What kind of a mind do you have? Do you have a mind that says, well, I'm just going to wait. If it rains, I'll take it. Or do you have a mind that says, I can make it rain? Because there's a God that listens to my prayers. There's a God that receives my praise. When I pray, when I praise, things happen. I've got a few people in my life that will call me and say, I have faith and confidence in your prayers. Pastor, I need this. I've got fellow pastors that do that. I had one that called me the other day and he said, I need you to pray for me. I'm in a financial strait. He called me in less than a week and he said, I got a $400,000 check from a man today for tithe. Thank you for your prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in the power of prayer. And so God is saying to you today, what's your mindset? Do you have a mindset like the normal person, or do you realize that you're not natural, you're supernatural? Do you realize that there's a power of God in you that makes intercession? That means it comes into control and says, I'm going to change this thing. I don't accept things like they are. I take the word of God. I let it affect my mind. It affects my prayer language. And I say, I'm going to change this. I'm not going to accept it the way it is. Number two, Elijah had an ear to hear. Do you have an Elijah ear or do you have an Ahab ear? Ahab didn't hear anything. He was as deaf as he could be. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Ahab said, I don't hear anything. Elijah said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. A person that makes rain hears it before it gets here. Nobody else can hear it, but he hears it. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens spoke. The Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The people said it thundered, but Jesus said, that is the voice of my Father. What do you hear? Do you hear God speaking, or do you hear the storms and the sound of trouble? What kind of an ear do you have? Well, bad times are coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I converse with people all the time, every day, and the majority of them are not Christian people, and I can promise you that they have an ear that is tuned either to hear nothing. If they hear anything, it's a storm coming. It's a trouble. They never hear anything good. The man in the White House is a devil. The economy is collapsing. War is about to overcome us. A guy told me the other day, he said, I just bought me a little piece of ground because, he said, this president we've got, he said, we're not going to be able to get groceries off of our shelf. And he said, I'm going to raise my own groceries. He said, I'm going to buy some pigs and cows next. I'm getting ready. There's a guy that's got an ear for trouble. I don't hear that. I hear a sound of abundance of rain in my life. And praise God, if it don't come, I'll make it happen because I know how to pray and I know how to praise. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know how to pray and you know how to praise, you are not incumbent upon what happens in this earth. You are the one that is going to make it rain on you and your family. Jesus' ear or people's ear? Which do you have? Is it trouble or is it the sound of the abundance of rain? And thirdly, Elijah had special eyes. The eye of faith can see things that other people do not see. He said to his servant, go out and tell me what you see. And seven times the guy went out and said, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. You know, I got to where my eye was not good, and I'd go out to my ranch, and I couldn't tell a cow from a horse from a distance. I could tell there was an animal out there, and I went and had laser surgery on it, and I just recommend it so highly. It takes about 15 seconds. It's just amazing. And ever since he did that little deal in my eye, the only thing he got mad at me, I was pretty relaxed. Because he shook me and said, wake up, you can't go to sleep while I'm operating on you. He was aggravated at me. I actually went to sleep while he was operating on my eye, and it aggravated the doctor. But it only took about 15 seconds for him to do whatever he did. When I came back to this church, I can now see the Capitol in Austin. It's just amazing. I walk out on 35, there's the Capitol I can see so far. Well, not quite, but I can read all the billboards. I can read way down the road. I can tell the cows from the horses. I can tell the little baby colts out there. It was because of the surgeon that worked on my eye. Ladies and gentlemen, there is such a spiritual surgery that takes place too. If you're not very careful, you will become blinded to the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the ability of God. But some people, all they can see is nothing or problems. Ladies and gentlemen, I can see the promises of God before they get here. I can tell you that God is going to bless me before it happens. I can tell you God's going to bless this church before it happens. That's the reason why I love the telephone and I love the mail. Some people say, I just hate the mail. Sister Diana, she's a wonderful lady. She's our receptionist and she's a great lady. But I'll call her, says, the mail in yet? Oh, I live for the mail and the telephone. I answer my phone all the time. I got a little deal that says spam. I'll even eat the spam. I want to see what they're spamming about. See what they're talking about. And then I try to, share with them some things. I love the telephone. Communication. I love the mailman. It's bringing good news to me. I had a man come to me one time, and the devil said, don't talk to him before service. Said he's going to be upset about something, but I could just see it on his face. I said, sir, why don't you come to my office and talk to me? I got service in about 5 minutes, and I normally just don't talk to people, but I could just see something. He came in and he said, I wanted to give you $7,000. Oh, that made the service even better. I could just see that on you. Praise God. God wants to give you an eye where you can see things. The servant couldn't see it. The people couldn't see it. But Elijah said, there's going to be a cloud out there. I can see it before it manifests, and that cloud is going to be full of rain. And that's what God is saying to somebody in this building. When you live in fear, you don't want to hear anything. You don't want to see anything. You don't want to think anything. But when you live in faith, you have good thoughts. When you live in faith, you hear good things. When you live in faith, you see good things before they happen and say, there is a miracle coming to me. Ladies and gentlemen, God has blessed me abundantly. abundantly. But I don't believe the biggest things have ever happened have happened in my life. I believe they're yet to come. I can see big things, big miracles, big things that just change my life happening. Somebody said, are you concerned about the church climate today? They say America's less church than it's ever been. Oh, I don't believe that's it. I just believe they're a little late. I believe there's coming a day where the churches of America are going to be packed beyond capacity. They are protesting today at Catholic churches all over America about abortion and about what they think is going to be the reversal of the Roe versus Wade law of the land. And so they're protesting today at Catholic churches. Somebody said, you think anybody will be here to protest? I'm very disappointed that we have no protesters in our parking lot, because I was sure wanting to go out there and tell them about Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, what do I see? I see a day where this church is filled to capacity more than once. I see a day where there are people standing in the parking lot. I do not believe that God has given up on America. I don't believe this is the end. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe there is a revival. I don't know what you think. You think the drought is going to last forever and everybody's going to die, dry up and die and blow away. But I think there is coming around a rain that we have never, ever seen. It's in my mind. It's in my ear. It's in my eye. And now it's in my mouth. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a rain, an abundance of rain coming to the kingdom of Almighty God. But there's a rain coming to your life and to your family and to your household. There's a blessing coming to you that you've never had. You're going to see some of your family that's been so against God get saved. You're going to see financial blessings come. You're going to see raises come. You're going to see businesses even begin to multiply in your life and doors begin to open. You got to live like that every day. You're either an Ahab or an Elijah. You're either like the people or you're the exception to the rule. You're either going to sit there with your hands folded and say, well, I'll take the rain if it comes, but there's nothing I can do about it. Oh, yes, there is. If you're a child of the living God, the same creative spirit that was in Christ that would cause him to put an ear back on a man's head, that same spirit is inside of you. You have the power of creative faith. It's just dormant. Wake it up. Wake it up. Wake it up. Begin to think like Christ. Through Christ, all things are possible. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult. God is able. There is no wall that God cannot make a doorway and a passage through. There's not an enemy that he cannot convert. One of the enemies of this church lived right across the road in one of these houses, and he hated this church and threatened me with a gun. But before it was through, he became my friend and wrote this check, this church, a check for $14,000. Ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me your enemies cannot be converted. Don't tell me that God cannot make a way where there is no way. Don't tell me if it's going to be dry. There's nothing you can do about it. We are a church full of rain makers. We can change people. We can change things. We can change circumstances. We've got the power of the living God in us. God didn't fill us with the Holy Ghost just to make us sing with more exuberancy. God didn't fill us with the Holy Ghost just to make us speak with tongues. God didn't fill us with the Holy Ghost just to make us clap our hands and dance. God filled us with the Holy Ghost that we would be creative in our faith, that we would make things that were not suddenly appear. God is with us. And suddenly Elijah says, I've got to ask you to do this. He said, I'm going to have to sacrifice before God. Obedience with sacrifice is the last key to making it rain. Elijah said, let's build an altar. They built an altar. Let's put the sacrifice on the altar. And then he said this, now we're going to put water on the sacrifice and the altar. Water was the thing that was the most scarce. It took tremendous sacrifice. I don't know where they got 3 barrels of water, but there were 4 barrels of water, but they did. And then he looked at it and he said, that's not enough. He said, let's do it again. three times they put four barrels of water on that sacrifice and on that altar. It was an amazing sacrifice. Obedience was sacrifice. Every time in my life where I've needed a miracle, God's called on me to do something that was difficult and sacrificial. And when I did it, that was the breakthrough. If something in your life that you can't live with, I promise you, set your mind like a flint toward God and say, God is able. Make up your mind, single-minded, not double-minded, single-minded. God is good, God is able, and God is going to do it. And then begin to think on that. And then begin to see it. And say, I see what God is going to do. I hear what God is going to do. And then begin to speak it and then say, God, what will I do? What God will ask you to do will be so insignificant, it seems, but it's the trigger. It's what causes the rain. God always has something for them to do. And God's got something for you to do in your life. If somebody in your life has hurt you, now it might be, you might need to go say, I'm sorry. Say, well, I'm not the one that did it. Oh, but that's the trigger. It don't matter whether you're at fault or not. It's all right to apologize for things other people did. Make amends. Fix it. I have been able to turn the anger of people. It's just amazing what when people are in your face cursing and carrying on and you say, I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had a woman a few months ago. She was so upset about a real estate deal. And what she was upset about was that I had signed a contract with another person instead of her. She called me on the phone. And she just began to chew me out. And she said, we know what you do. We know that you robbed that church. She lived out in Seguin. She didn't know anything about that. We know you robbed that church and steal money from the church. And you buy these places and then you resell them. And I listened to her. When she got through, she just finally ran out of steam. And I said, I love you. She said, what do you say? I said, I love you. She hung up. She called back and said, what did you say again? She just couldn't believe it. But I literally unmasked her and took away from her her weapon. I changed everything. She was no longer my enemy simply because she didn't get to make the commission on the real estate deal. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the power inside of you to change everything in your life. You are a potential rainmaker. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get up today. Get up today. Make a decision. Make a vocal sentence and say, this is what's going to happen. Make a declaration today. Hear what God is saying. See what God is saying. Get ready for the biggest rain, the biggest blessing in your life. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Everybody here doesn't get what I'm saying, but somebody in this building today understands exactly what I'm saying. This is Sunday. Before the next Sunday comes around, you're going to make it rain in your life. Your life is going to change. That thing you've been praying about is going to manifest. That person that has been such a problem is not going to be a problem anymore. That financial lack is not going to be a lack anymore. That job is going to manifest. That raise is going to manifest. That family problem is going to be resolved. Somebody in this building is going to make it rain before we get to next Sunday. In 1 week's time, your life is going to turn around because you're realizing today the potential that you have, not through the perfection of your flesh, but the same spirit that was in Christ is in you. If it can raise the body from the dead, it can do anything, anything, anything. Nothing's too hard for God. A miracle is going to happen to you this week in Jesus' name. If you're that person or those persons, I want you to step out of your pew right now and rush this altar and throw your hands up and say, God, I'm going to make it rain this week in my life. I'm going to make it rain in Jesus' name. Whatever you tell me to do, the little sacrifice I need to make in obedience to you, I'll make it. I'll make it, God. I'm not afraid. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Praise God. Praise God. This is one of the most godly women I've ever pastored right here. And I'm going to tell you that God is going to work a miracle in your life this week.